Jeannie Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is April 11th, 2024, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Today is a holy wasdy day. It's a Thursday, and guess who's not here? Kevin Combs, Vice President McKinney Flavelle. He is not here, but I am joined by Nicole Thomas and Eric Thornton of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, guys and gals.
Hello, Michael.
Good afternoon.
Yes. Nobody's here. I mean, here's the thing. Kevin came up with that whole wake up and scarf donuts because he loves donuts.
Right.
And I've got all these donuts in front of me and nobody here to eat them. So I guess I'll just have to wait till next week when he gets back.
I think you can, overnight that my way, because I'm sure, a donut 24 hours later is going to be just as delicious as what you're enjoying right now.
That's right.
I've got an 18-month who's pretty good at scarfing these days.
Okay. Okay. Yes. And I'm sure your wife would love it. Love it if Uncle Mike sent Rory some donuts.
Well, I'm sure. Well, Cal's still working, waiting on Uncle Mike to send some candy from Western Candy Conference, if I recall.
I can't wait till you get it, because it's going to arrive when you're gone next week.
Well, actually, that's a good thing, so I don't have to deal with the fallout, good and bad. Yep. He gets to eat a lot because I'm not around to regulate, but I don't have to deal with the fallout either, so have at it.
There you go. Yeah,
okay, good. Well, that's what's happening. So, and speaking of that, before we dive into the WASD report, just real quick, our spring seminar, we're very excited, is next Wednesday, April 17th in Oak Brook, Illinois at the La Meridian. So those that have already registered, look forward to seeing you. Those last minute, we got a few seats left. So if you're interested, sign up on our website at McKinney-Flavelle.com. But guess what? If you can't make it, you can make it online, so you can also register online. So we'll look forward to seeing you all about the movers and shakers and talking about AI.
Sustainability, technology, the future.
The future. So, all right, well, let's get into the WASD report. And Nicole, why don't we start with you?
Sure. Today was a fairly quiet WASD, I would say. Kind of confirmation of some things we believed would show up on the balance sheets eventually, and then other things that still aren't showing up on the balance sheet. More on that in a second. But let's start with corn. So we actually saw a little pressure on ending corn stocks for the domestic market, 23-24. Not too bad. Those fell by 50 million bushels. So a little lower than last month's report. But nothing too bad, because at the end of the day, we're still talking about a very bearish stocks to use ratio of 14.5% for the domestic market. But what created that decline? Actually, some interesting scenarios there. Stronger demand for the feed and residual category, and stronger demand for ethanol. And why I say this was interesting is because if we look at first of all, ethanol production, it has been a bit stronger thus far this marketing year than last. So I guess that one wasn't much of a surprise. And, subtle 25 million pound adjustment higher, not that big of a deal. I know longer term, however, that industry is very interested in finding out their future fate as it relates to sustainable aviation fuel. Time for a shameless plug. If you tune into our spring seminar next week, I'm going to dig into that a little bit and see what that outlook is for us. But with just our traditional over-the-road transportation fuel usages, we've seen that number come up a little bit. So that was a component of it. The other one maybe makes me scratch my head a little bit. Now, I'm not going to say that I fully doubt the number, but it kind of contradicts some of the stuff we're hearing right now. And that's for the feed category. That also was raised by 25 million bushels, which now puts us at about 5.7 billion. And that one's interesting because there's a bit of a mixed bag of information in the market regarding demand for that category. So on one hand, USD's probably moving that number higher based off of what they saw in the grain stocks report of last month. So that's usually about the time, once they have that quarterly disappearance number, is when they start making adjustments to the fee category, as it's a little more challenging one to kind of pinpoint at any given time in the marketing year. So I'm sure that that was a component of it, and that may have been stronger usage for the first couple of quarters of the marketing year. But it's also a little counterintuitive, considering we're still hearing about avian flu. Continues to be a factor for poultry producers, particularly for the layers in the upper Midwest. And because, you know, we always have to have a what crazy thing shows up on the 2024 bingo card. Well, for, I guess this would be technically the month of March, avian flu showing up in dairy cattle. I think that deserves the bingo card entry for what you would not expect for March. But at least at this stage, it doesn't appear that that's a fatal thing for dairy cattle in the way that it is for the birds. And, you know, effectively got to cull the inventories you have. So it'll just be something to watch. And particularly if it kind of expands into more of the beef cattle side of things. And again, you're not going to have to, you know, euthanize these cows or anything like that. But, you know, it's just like me and how I'm feeling today. I'm feeling a little under the weather. I'm not all that hungry.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah, might not eat as much. So we'll see how that goes. But anyway, like I said, overall, still pretty bearish at 14.5%. And then on the global balance sheet, we did see a slight decline to ending stocks, down by a little more than a million tons to 318.3 million tons, roughly speaking. The interesting part there, USDA kept Brazilian production at 124 million tons. They lowered Argentina's projection by 1 million to 55, but they kept that Brazilian one unchanged. And because we like to make things interesting and a bit of an argument in the streets, so to speak, between two countries, CONAB also released their numbers today, and they put corn production at just under 111 million tons. So there's a little bit of a disconnect. And considering CONAB's even saying that, hey, we're going to have to import some corn this year to meet our own domestic needs of somewhere around 2.5 million tons. There's probably going to be some adjustment at some point on this global balance sheet whenever we figure out which of these two agencies is more accurate. My guess, we're probably going to meet somewhere in the middle, maybe a little higher number than what CONAB's thinking, and a little lower number than where the USDA is at for now. So anyway, that's where we stand for corn. Now the soy side, hey, we love to see when something we've been talking about for an extended period of time starts to show up on the balance sheet. And in this case, it was higher domestic ending stocks for soybeans. Those were increased by 25 million bushels to 340 million. And Michael, can you guess which category took the hit?
I'm going to defer to Eric.
This is a test to see how much you listen to me. I know Eric knows this answer.
Exports.
Thank you, Eric. I can always trust. I can always rely on Eric. Yes. Export category was lowered 20 million bushels. That puts it at 1.7 billion for the year. And there is a real possibility remaining that that number will come down lower. But that also depends on Brazil to a degree. More of that coming soon. But at least for now, it's looking pretty good for domestic soybean balance sheet, with stocks to use projected at 8.3%. And that's up about a couple of percentage points from where we sat at the end of 22-23. So good news there. We also saw a minor boost to ending stocks for soybean oil domestically. Nice little mixed bag of changes there. On one hand, exports were raised by 50 million pounds. I think we're sitting at 350 million now. And imports were also increased by enough to offset that when you combine it with what is also a higher average oil yield. We have that at 11.77 pounds per bushel now. So the combination of the greater imports, amazing. 20 years ago, you could not have told me we'd be importing soybean oil, but here we are. And that higher yield helped to offset that higher export number and keep ending stocks relatively close to where they were at, but a little higher. Now, globally, soybean ending stocks for 23-24 were left relatively unchanged, near 114 million tons, a little higher than that. And again, we have this, is it the USDA or is it CONAB? Because USDA left Brazilian production unchanged at 155 million tons. CONAB put their corn production in Brazil at 146.5 million tons. So a little bit of a spread between those numbers as has been ongoing thus far this marketing year. Also worth noting, Argentina's production was left unchanged at 50 million tons. So overall, that left, you know, ending stocks about where they were in the March report. Again, likely to see some changes down the road, but I think overall we'll be in a fairly good spot, or at least in a fairly good position to continue to show year-over-year increases to ending stocks. And then as far as the global soybean oil stocks scenario is concerned, that saw a modest increase, now sitting at 5.16 million tons for 23-24. Mostly due to weaker global consumption. Not surprising, we've got ample supplies of sunflower oil. We've had pretty decent production of palm oil. We've got greater usage of waste greases and fats and biofuel production, not just in the U.S., globally. So all of that's helped to keep that soybean oil supply relatively stable. So I would say, you know, overall, more of a status quo report for corn and soybeans and soybean oil. Things to watch here moving forward. Obviously, we've got our acreage numbers. We'll want to see if we're going to see those numbers come down a little bit, maybe for soy, and maybe go up for corn. So we'll see how that pans out. Definitely going to watch the weather. Arguably starting to see some dryness pop up globally, a little bit in South America, a little bit over in Russia. Maybe a little too much rain in Argentina at the moment. But as we've talked about ad nauseum here, La Nina is a-coming. So we'll just continue to monitor things and hopefully see very limited impact in the U.S. or in the, you know, with Northern Hemisphere production. And we'll just have to keep our eyes close to the market for South American impact, because that, ladies and gentlemen, will be arguably the make or break for whether or not we're going to see, you know, corn prices trend down, maybe even sub $4 on the futures market, or if they're going to be in the fives. And we'll also start to get some indication on where those soybean values are going to hang out and accordingly support or lack thereof for any additional increase to soybean oil pricing. So that's your WASDE recap for corn and soy.
Excellent. Thank you, Nicole. Let's shift over to Eric. Eric, why don't we talk about wheat?
Let's talk about it. And Nicole, I think I might be able to further help explain your feed increase on corn, because in the wheat balance sheet, we saw a 30 million bushel reduction in wheat for feed or mill feed. So perhaps that explains a little bit of the ration that farmers chose to go more corn versus mill feed. And like you mentioned, you know, we kind of had some clues at least that some of this could be coming in today's update via the grain stocks report there at the end of March. So we saw that stocks as of March 1st were much higher than industry expectations at 1.08 billion bushels. And you know, as it's more or less a true up category to demand, we, you know, and myself were expecting and had the hunch that we'd see some feed demand reduction. But hey, you know, losing 30 million bushels, that's fairly sizable. That's a 25% reduction to the category itself. So we sit now at 90 million bushels. And we also saw a 5 million bushel reduction to imports. So, you know, as projected, we were expecting to see a little bit of a rise to stocks, and we did increase another 25 million bushels and currently sit just shy of that 700 million bushel plateau, 698 million bushels. The one thing I'll say, or actually two other things I'll say on the domestic side, the biggest beneficiary of the change today to that feed category was hard red spring wheat. We saw that that demand was lowered by 20 million bushels for feed, so making up a majority of the all wheat decrease to the category. And that actually brought ending stocks up by an equivalent amount, moving higher from 177 million bushels to now 197 million bushels. And stocks to use ratio for the class surged 34.6% last month. Now we're looking at 40% stocks to use ratio, the largest since 2019-20. I'd say why that's relevant is from a futures standpoint, we've seen that both Kansas City and Chicago wheat futures have held on to about a 60 or 70 or so cent per bushel premium over Minneapolis spring wheat futures. This has been looking at new crop, I'll say, or 24-25 contracts. But with this sort of bearish revision basically all going towards hard red spring, we may see that that premium or that gap starts to narrow and potentially see that all three wheat classes trade a little bit closer in line and converge together. So something to monitor, and you know, definitely encouraging for those spring wheat buyers out there. We also didn't see any acreage reduction in the prospective plantings report. So definitely a couple bearish wins here for that specific class. But all in all, I think, you know, this balance sheet for old crop 23-24 is sort of winding down for wheat. We only have 7 weeks left of the current marketing year because once we get to June 1st, we'll then be transitioning to 24-25, where again, we should also expect to see increasing stocks for new crop. It's just a matter of, you know, how much more supply or how big are the crops going to be this summer and fall. But all in all, good things there. And you know, they kept USDA, that is, export demand flat at 710 million bushels. Again, 7 weeks left to go. Maybe they want a little bit more data to come in before making any adjustments there. If they were to change it, it would probably be on the lower end, similar to Nicole's chanting for a while that soy exports were likely to head lower. Wheat exports probably also continue to drag a little bit lower there too. And, you know, looking globally, man, not a lot to talk about. We just saw a minor true up to EU wheat production, up 500,000 tons to now 134.2 million tons. But ending stocks, man, they just don't seem to want to budge from hanging somewhere around 258 or 259 million metric tons. We've been at that level now since I believe the December WASDE report. So pretty interesting, actually, when you consider all the different wheat producing and exporting nations and the consumption of wheat for, you know, as a main feedstock and food source, that, you know, stocks haven't changed for 4 to 5 months now. So interesting, but I think it's fair. And, you know, really, again, it's like Nicole said, all about planting pace, crop condition, and of course, weather from here on out. But overall, in line with expectations today, but the changes were certainly bearish and we'll take it.
Excellent. Thank you. Well, and you know, let's shift over to sugar, and Kevin is not here. I could do my best Kevin impression. I don't know. I'm feeling like,
do it.
Eric, what about Robo Kevin? You might do
Robo Kevin. Yeah, I could do
Robo Kevin. Yes.
AI Kevin. I think this is AI Kevin. Well, talking about the numbers, that's all I got. I'm being nice to you, Kevin. I'm going to see you next week. And if we do an extended version soon, Nicole and Eric, I'll do my best at Kevin impression. So you guys can look forward to that.
Is that your Mustang I hear out there? your Corvette? I mean,
Corvette. Sorry, Corvette. Right.
And your
softball. Me, don't say Mustang. Oh my goodness. Yeah,
the closest I'm getting to that is like a Matchbox car that's a Corvette.
Yeah, you know there you that. Go.
There you go.
But looking at the numbers, Kevin did a great job recapping last month, the March WASDE, but when looking at April, they didn't change cane. So they left that at 4.071. Beets, they lowered 28 to 5.144, as Kevin talked about, concern over the storage of beets in the Red River Valley in Michigan due to warmer than expected conditions. Cane, some thought they would lower that number, but as I mentioned, they kept it at 4.071. So no change in Florida or Louisiana there. The TRQ, yes, as Kevin talked about last month, the USDA did increase the TRQ in early March. And for this report, they increased it 25 to 1.775 on higher imports from Argentina and Panama in particular. And the other really important number is how much is going to come from Mexico. There is still a lot of concern on how Mexico will end their crop in May, June. So they went ahead and lowered that 167 to 499. And as Kevin said, the crazy number that they had at 666 last month, that's gone. And then shifting over to high tier imports, which it's been a big head scratcher to us and a reason why a lot of the industry has said we need more access to imports. They raised that 140 to 855. And I don't think I've ever seen that. So and I've been doing this for a bit. So again, just reassures that the high tier market and the market following the 11s and with the 16s is really just looking at that tier two market and that high correlation. They left food unchanged, and the stocks to use ratio, they put at their low end of the target at 13.5%. So as we look forward, we all know out there and those in the sugar industry, leaving the colloquium, negotiations started kicking up. Bids and RFPs have been continually going out, and we've seen some bookings, but there's still, I would say, a decent amount that needs to be done. The market's interesting enough, Nicole and Eric. I looked at the 11s. The 11s were down pretty good, down to, and if you look at 25, you're under 20 cents. Yes, you're under 20 cents. And so,
wow.
Yeah. So when we've talked about the range before, we've talked about 18 to 20 cents on the range. So low, getting to that lower end of that range. And the 16s followed this morning. We're down in the, gosh, you could say low 39s as you looked at positions January, March, and May of 2025. So really interesting stuff and how that might or may or may not impact our continued negotiations for next year. So, we're going to be looking at, what's going to happen. And as we look at the number 11s, the Brazilian crop that's coming up, how good is that going to be? We're going to be looking at India and their export quota and what they end up doing. And then finally, how Thailand's crop, there's been some reports of better than expected crop coming up. So all that's put some pressure on that number 11. And does that continue? And we all know in this business that things can change on a dime based on reports or actual production that happens. So Mexico, as we know, is a larger and larger player in the world market. And so a lot of eyes are going to be pointed to them and what they end up doing. So more to come. I think the other thing I'd mention, Nicole and Eric, that is a big topic a few weeks back, we all know the bridge collapse in Baltimore. So there still is a lot of concern about longer term, how long is it going to take for that to be fixed? And how is that ultimately going to, as it relates to sugar, impact the flows of raw sugar into that area? Obviously, if they don't have access to that, then, there are much higher costs associated with getting raw sugar to those refineries. So still a lot to happen. And then the other big question, final question, is what will the USDA do? It's after April 1st. Will they, in some cases, people say you need to continually address more imports because, take a look at those high tier imports. That's unprecedented. So what will they do? That's the big question. And so more to come there. Yeah. And so that, I think that is a recap. Negotiations happening. Still a lot of question marks. And we'll see where if early plannings for beets end up happening and how that progress goes. So more to come. So that's my recap.
That was a good Kevin impression.
Way to go, Kevin.
It was.
Without the added voicing. Kevin Coughlin. Yeah. Go. Kevin. Great.
You know, I could have eaten a donut as I talked. And I could have called him Homer. Okay. Well, I ended up doing it. All right. We're going to wrap this one up. As I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy every minute, moment with your friends and family. Do something fun this weekend. And I'll tell you what, for those attending our conference next week, we'll look forward to seeing you either in person or online. It's going to be a fun event. It always is.
Always.
I'm going to do it. Happy birthday, Craig. Today's his birthday.
Happy birthday, Craigers.
With that, I wish everybody a happy weekend.
See ya.
So long.
Take care, everybody. That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.